Everyone likes giraffes. They're cute, adorable. They're fun at the zoo, in the wild. And they are also mentioned in this week's parsha as being a kosher animal. According to most mafarshim on the Chumash, the zamer, is a giraffe. So we have to explain, and we have to debunk, one of the most popular Jewish urban legends as to why is it that we do not have giraffe steaks, giraffe burgers, kebabs in our kosher stores, and what is the classic reason giving that is incorrect? We don't know where to shecht the giraffe. We will discuss that such an explanation, and I will show you how far that explanation went that it actually made it into an encyclopedia. But that's the exciting marimakum of the evening. I'll explain. Get to that later on. Let's begin. The Torah, in pretty much every single place where it discusses animals, differentiates between a chaya and a behemah. A chaya is a wild animal, as your mother may have referred to when you were a child. And behemah is a domesticated animal. An animal that we use for farming and agriculture and the like. And one of the key differences between them is the fat, the chaylev. On the fat of a behemah, we can eat, we can't eat, but the fat of a chaya, the chaylev of a chaya, we are allowed to eat. That doesn't really come up so much nowadays. Those parts don't even really make it to us, but that's an important difference. You can have the fats of the chaya, but you can't have the fats of a behemah. Comes the shach in Yoredeya, in Simen Pei, Sifkatan Pei, and Sifkatan Beis, and he says that when it comes to identifying the chayos kasheros, that which is a kosher wild animal, we don't rely on the signs given by the Torah. Rather, we only have a mesorah. Lefi shein lanu ata elamasha kibalnu b'mesoras. We only have which we know through a mesorah, through a tradition in identifying that which is a chaya, and that which is a behema, because it will come in simen pei beis, gabi simani ha'of, katsarti. And we'll discuss this idea of having a mesorah, a tradition regarding what is kosher, not kosher, later on when it comes to birds, says the shach. This is the shita of the shach, and how do we differentiate between what is a chaya and what is a behema when it comes to eating the fats of the animal. He then goes on to cite the Rama, who says that when it comes to eating birds, we only rely on the mesorah, and we don't decide which birds are kosher based on simanim, right? We know this as well. This comes up when we talk about turkey and things like that. We only eat birds that we have a mesorah for, a tradition that Klal Yisrael ate from. Even though the Gemara in Chulin gives a number of physical signs, those signs are not enough, right? The Gemara says that it has to consume its food whole. It doesn't take chunks out of the food. That's a machlok, Sunna, Rabbeinu Tam, and Rashi. The Gemara also describes that a kosher bird does not pin its prey to the ground, and does not have two in the front and one in the back of its claws. And it doesn't. This is how they close it to the ground. Like if you look at a parakeet, for example, a parakeet holds on to the little bar in the cage by having two in the front and one in the back of its claws. That would not be kosher as well. All these different signs are given by the Gemara, but nevertheless, even though we have signs where the Torah doesn't give them, still we need a mesorah when it comes to a kosher bird. The question the Achronim have is exactly what is the shach referring to. So I explain the shach in a very slanted way. I explain the shach in front of you as saying that it's talking about the fat of an animal and distinguishing whether the animal is a chaya or a behema in identifying whether we can have the fats and whether the fats would be kosher or not. This is what most achronim say. In order to differentiate between what's a chaya and a behema in regards to eating the chaylev, you have to have a mesorah. This is the shita of the Prima Gadim. Look here in the Prima Gadim. Di'ihu nami hafi kamar. Kevin shirabu haperushim ein la'achol ha'chaylev. We have to have a mesorah when it comes to eating the fat of the animal. Al b'mesorah. So you have to have a tradition. Dein anu b'kiyin b'movla charkayhu v'shar simanim. We are not exactly experts in knowing exactly what is a chaya, what is a wild animal, or what is a behema, a domesticated animal, in regards to this halach as well. The Amud Eizah says this, the Darkei Tshuva, the Kaf HaChayim, comes the Maharsham, the Chelev Dav, and Simon Saridal here on the sheet. He quotes the Nodes of Yehuda, and then he says, the Gabe Dagim lo Tali b'Mesoros. When it comes to a fish, we don't need to have a tradition, whether a fish is kosher or not. The Chinir Lehede B'Tur Shulchan Aruch Shal Eskiru Mesoros Rakba Ophos. We only have the idea of Mesora, whether an animal is kosher, when it comes to birds. V'chein matzasi v'shut Mahari ben Harash, Kevan de Torah Nasna Bedag, Simon Ein Sarach and Masaris, Vedafka Ofneach Al and Masaris. So he says, when the Torah gave us Simanim, we use the Simanim over there, and that's sufficient. We don't need to have a Masorah in addition to the Simanim, the signs that the Torah gave us. This is the Shita as well as Rav Vazner and the Sheva Halevi and the Chelak Yudin, Simon Kutya Dalad, who returns to that Shuva momentarily, and it's also the opinion of the Orthodox Union. As well, the OU and their internal kosher documents, they are very clear in saying that we follow the Shach and that we do not need a Masorah in deciding whether an animal is kosher or not. We'll discuss at the end, after giraffes, we'll discuss the buffalo and the zebu. Those are also within the same discussion we're going to have right now.
That's why you have them, not for birds, right?
What?
You have them to show me
for animals. For birds, you have to have a Masorah, correct. The opinion of the OU is that you do need, as is the Shulchan Aruch, you do need a Masorah when it comes to birds. However, there is a sheet of the Chazanish. The Chazanish writes in numerous places. He writes in his letters in the Chelek Aleph, in the Chelek Beis, in the Chelek Gimel, and again in Yoredeah that we're going to look at over here in Simon Yud Aleph, and he also writes in the Tshuva to Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog gets involved with the eating of Zebu in Eretz Yisrael. We'll discuss that at the end again. But here, look at what the Chazanish writes. He says, אחרי שידוע כמה החמירו רבסינם הראשון והאחרונם זל, שלא לפרוץ גדר שגדר ראשון. We need to be very careful when it comes to the gedarim set up by the earlier rabbis. אין לנו לנטוס מדברי הגון חכמס אדם. And he says there is a shita of the חכמס אדם, שקבה בספרו, שמנהגנו שלא לאכול בהמוס וחיוס אלא במסורס. The חכמס אדם seems to say that we don't have we don't eat animals, behemoth or chayos, unless we have a Masorah tradition. Ukafi Pashan Shal Divrei Hashach, which is the simple explanation of the Shach and Simon Pei. But Delo Ka Prima Gadim, against the Prima Gadim, the Chazanish had no problem disagreeing with the Prima Gadim in many cases. And he says, Be emissary of Prima Gadim, Eidan Miskablim, Beloshan Hashach, he says it doesn't fit with the Shach is saying. Skip down a bunch of lines to the end of the bracket, about 8 or 9 lines from the end of the Chaznish. And he says, Ve'ein kavanas ha-chachmas adam shalo l'kabel l'chayos al behemas mutter t'hari ha-shach kasa l'fi ha-kitzer. What's the Chaznish saying? He says the Shach literally means, and understands the ruling of other poskim as well, that the Shach is referring to a minhag established in many generations beforehand to not eat any animal species in which there is no Masorah. A cow, whatever it is. You don't eat a mammal unless you have Masorah. Is it true that the Torah says that if it chews its cud and it has the hooves, that is sufficient to eat such a mammal? True. But there's a minhag for many, many generations, says the Shach, to only eat a mammal if we have a Masorah. And he gives several suggestions as to why a minhag may have begun, and he says maybe that they didn't know how to check whether the different unfamiliar animals are treif or not, or that they might have assumed that the chayim permit a chalev when it's not, you might have mixed things up and eaten the improper fats, so they made a general geder, a general minhag, to not eat any mammal unless there is a Masorah. So says the Chazanish. The Chazanish is certainly not alone in his sheet as well. This is the sheet of the Yalkut Yosef in Isser V'Heter and Chalek Beis, and it's also the opinion of Rav Menashe Klein. Rav Menashe Klein, besides for his very popular tshuvos, Mishnah Halachos, he also has a commentary on the Rambam's Minyan HaMitzos called the Mitzvah HaMelech. So he writes at the end of Kufnun Gimel that you need a Masorah for a mammal. So the Chaznish is not alone. There are some people who agree with him, but he certainly is within the minority. And again, the Chaznish based himself on a comment of the Chachmas Adam here in Lamed Vav Al. If you look at the Chachmas Adam over here, we'll see what he thinks the Chachmas Adam is saying. The Chachmas Adam says, Simani Behema V'chayin is Parshu B'Torah. The Torah tells us the animal, the signs that are kosher. Two things. Malas gero parsusa sedokos, right? So chew its cuz, it has to have split hooves. V'yesh chiluk bein chay lebehema. There's a difference between the two. The dam chaya tom kisoy v'chal mutar. When it comes to a chaya, so it has to, you have to cover the blood and its fats are allowed. V'meido makir nasmu chacham simanim. If you don't know which is which, so the Torah gave us simanim. The rabbis gave us simanim lahakir bein chaya lebehema to distinguish between now which is a chaya and now which is a behema. Tahora l'tzmeya lefish ein anu ochin el mashi kibalu b'mesoros na'avasim. And since we only eat that which we have a tradition from our forefathers, as we'll explain later on, v'im kein asur lanu la'achom in achayos, it is asur bit from chayos, rak hatzvi. Only kosher animal you can have is deer. Because that we know. We need to know more about the signs between the Chai and the Behemoth, so go look in Shulchan Aruch. It's not entirely clear why the Chazon Ish thinks that the Chachmas Adam is telling you can only eat any kosher mammal with a Masorah. We just read the Chachmas Adam, and he seems to say very clearly, to distinguish between a Chai and a Behemoth, whether it's Tahor and Tameh, you need to have a Kabbalah of a Masorah Me'av Oseinu. So that's Tzarchi number one. He also cites the Aruch HaShulchan. But if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, Achzehu akol ledina lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, ein anu somchem al simanim, we do not eat the simanim, the signs, shein anu bekiyim behem, we are not experts in them, vein chaya ne'achal, ela b'mesoras. A chaya, a wild animal, is not eaten unless you have a mesora, kamoshi yispar, as it's explained in Simon Paybe's, look in the Shach, which we just did. So even though the Chazon Ish cites the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chachmas Adam, proving that you need a tradition in order to eat a kosher animal, it seems to not be clear. In fact, the Kaf HaChaim, if you look over here on the next page, in Sif Chatzin Hei, the Kaf HaChaim says clearly that the Chachmas Adam is simply saying that you need a Mesorah to differentiate between a Chaya and a Behema. Look, he quotes the Chachmas Adam in the Aruch HaShulchan, that the Tzarech Kabbalah u'Mesoras echidvar v'in chaylev. The idea that you need a Mesorah is when it comes to eating the fat. Avala'inyan basar in sarach bikiyas. You don't need to be an expert to just eat the mammal on its own. That's enough with signs. And he quotes the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chachmas Adam. So the Kaf HaChaim certainly is against the Chazon Ish. This is also the opinion of Rav Belsky, Olav HaShalom, Zatzal, in the Kovitz Mitzorah, in the 20th volume, on page Samach Vav. Look at what he says. The Chachmas Adam baror b'kechama. It's clear like the sun. So his kir in hamasoras ela b'mash nogei lechilukim shebein chay lebehema. The whole idea of having a tradition is to know whether this is a wild animal or a domesticated animal. Do I need to cover the blood? Can I eat the fat? That's the only reason you need a tradition. L'chein lo hetik osam simanim shalpiam natzav chaylev hamin hahu onoschayv bekisa adam bebracha. And that's why the Chacham HaSadim didn't include those things in Masorah, because it wouldn't be common. It says Rav Belsky, if it was important to have simanim to differentiate with the animal and the Masorah, then the Chacham HaSadim should have said that. But what did the Chacham HaSadim say? Go look in Shulchan Aruch, because there you'll just talk about this thing that's not so common. But it is common. It is common to know if you need a kosher mammal or not. But the Chacham HaSadim doesn't say those things. It wouldn't make any sense. Did the Chachmas Adam, when he said you can only eat a deer, did he mean the only kosher mammal is a deer? No, that's not what he meant. He meant the only kosher animal that we eat that's a chaya is a deer. That is what the Chachmas Adam says Rav Belsky. There are also additional factors as well when it comes to kosher mammals. The Gemara in Bechoros Daf Zion says, in the name of Rishu ben Levi, that a kosher animal is unable to have a child with a non-kosher animal. Meaning a sign, you want to know whether it's a kosher animal. If a kosher animal is a mate with a non-kosher animal, there would be no child from such mating. And this is brought lahalacha in the Raman Huchos Machos Asuros and Perak Aleph and Yaruch HaShulchan Ayin Zion. On the other hand, the Chsam Sofer and Lekutei Aris and Yerodea Ayin Dalid Beis and the Ma'ari Asad and Yerodea Simen Sari Beis say that Rishu ben Levi is not lahalacha. Just because a kosher animal can mate with a non-kosher animal, it doesn't indicate whether if it has offspring, whether it's kosher or not. The question is, though, would the Chazon Ish rely on this sign of Rishu ben Levi? Meaning, if I can show you that a giraffe or a zebra or a buffalo can mate with a non-kosher, with another animal, and it may or may not have children, so is that going to indicate whether or not? Would the Chazon Ish rely on such a sign? So Rabbi Bleich, in his article in Volume 5 of Contemporary Halachic Issues, says that the Chazon Ish wouldn't agree, and other articles say they would. Whatever, there are different types of issues when it comes to other signs as well. Okay, let's get to the giraffe, because that's what we really care about. We want to know, are giraffes kosher? So the Torah of this week's Parshim, Devarim Yadalit, says that a zamer is kosher because it has the proper simanim. Says Rav Sajagon here on the Pasuk that the zamer is the zarafa, or the giraffe. In the Arabic, the zayin would be more of a zha sound, so it would be the zarafa, according to Rav Sajagon. And Rabbi Ari Zivotofsky has a long article in the Toru Mada Journal in the 11th edition where he records a whole session he had with experts in Rabbanim, and they discussed the giraffe, and he showed that the giraffe certainly has all the simanim and all the qualifications of a kosher animal. And within the discussion, he argues that since the Rishonim and the Achronim have understood that the Zamer to be the giraffe is a sign of a Mesora, meaning since you have Rav Sajagon and all these other Rishonim talking about the giraffe, what would that indicate? That even the Chazon Ish should admit that a giraffe is kosher, because if they were discussing it, it must mean that we have a Mesora that a giraffe is kosher. So bein the Chazon Ish, bein everybody else, the giraffe is certainly a kosher animal. He brings Rabbanim, including Rav Yitzhak Ratzabi, who's one of the Gedolim of the Yemenite community in Bnei Brak, who also feel that the giraffe is proper Mesora. If you look in the article, he brings a long list of all the Rabbanim who say that certainly a giraffe is a kosher animal.
So you're saying without quote-unquote this Mesora, it is considered kosher?
Even whether you, even if you, even according to Chazon Ish, it should still be kosher. Because we have traditions of Rabbanim talking about the giraffe. So everyone across the board should be okay with a giraffe, according to this article. So Rabbi Bleich, in that fifth volume of Contemporary Halachic Problems, so he says we don't have a Mesora, that the giraffe is kosher. And then according to the dissenting poskim, we can't eat a giraffe. And he notes that the identification of the Zamer as the giraffe is contested by the Chizkuni on that pasuk, and the Ibn Ezra and Rashi and Chulin Daf Pei all say they don't know what the animal is in the Torah. So maybe there isn't a Mesora. But, okay, so Rabbi Bleich is in the minority of saying that the giraffe is not a kosher animal. So the above discussion will impact whether we can eat the giraffe. So many posts can reject the Chazon Ish for a number of reasons. We're going to go through six reasons, why we reject the Chazon Ish. So just those who reject the Chazon Ish are Rav Herzog, who will explain, who will talk about that in a second, the Shemin Halevi, Rav Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher and Parshi Shmini, and the Divrei Shalom, and also other poskim as well. The first is, if the Shach truly meant to qualify the permissibility of eating the Chaya, he would have written it in Yerodea. He doesn't say that very clearly, so since the Shach doesn't make such statements openly, it's hard to assume that's what he's saying. In addition, as we said, the Chachma Sadam does not seem to indicate like the Chazon Ish said. That's reason number two. Rav Belsky cites Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who said that the Prima Gadim is the Posek Acharon Elita, and therefore, we don't have to worry about the Chachmas Adam. Meaning, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky felt when it comes to passing for the Litvish community, so the Prima Gadim overrides the Chachmas Adam. So anyone, I guess, would be a Litvak, would certainly have a greater heter to go for the giraffe if needed, because Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky felt that the Prima Gadim trumped the Chachmas Adam. Even if you want to say the Chachmas Adam felt the giraffe would be a problem. Even if we assume like the Chachmas Adam would be binding for those Elita, it certainly would not be obligatory for those in other communities as well. The Chachmas Adam himself writes that deer, or venison as it's called, is permissible. And the Shulchan Aruch ruled that water buffalo is kosher as long as it's considered cows, sheep, and goats. And therefore, we see as well that we see that the tradition regarding what's a kosher animal is not simply limited to, you know, sheep, you know, cow, and lamb, but there's more to work with. The Chazon Ish himself, in the Per Hador, which is the beautiful five-volume biography of the Chazon Ish written by the Talmidim in Chelek Dalet on page Reish Chav Ches, writes that in our times, when reform is making inroads into authentic Torah Judaism, it's impossible to allow new things to be considered permitted if in the past they were deemed prohibited, as one breach of tradition leads to subsequent breaches. Meaning, the Chazon Ish felt that in the Pesach it was important to make Gedarim in order to protect the Torah, to not allow new animals in order to protect the Mesora. But nowadays, it's hard to say that this logic would be applicable. I don't think that the main contention between the Orthodox community and the Reform and Conservative, anyone who's not Orthodox, is can we eat giraffes or buffaloes or not? We're way past that. We have bigger issues of kashrus, and this is a minor issue. It's not so clear to say the Chazon Ish would say we have to stand guard to make sure that no one's eating giraffe. It's not so clear that battle still exists nowadays. There's a, in the Sefer, in the biography of Yosef Chaim Zangenfeld, Ha'isha Al-Choma, so there's a long chapter about the battle over the speaking of Hebrew, whether it should have been taught in schools and yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. at that time, the time of Yosef Chaim Zangenfeld. So they quoted from the Chazon Ish in the 1950s, years after that battle was over, that the Chazon Ish said that in the yeshivas in Bnei Brak, they should teach in Hebrew, not in Yiddish. And there's a big uproar, how can we teach in Hebrew? The language of the Zionists, now what about Yiddish, the Lashon, what's going to be? So they went to the Chazon Ish and said, how are you allowing them to teach Hebrew in the Chedarim? What happened to Yiddish? So the Chazon Ish said, that battle over Yiddish and Hebrew is old. That's an old battle from decades ago. It's not a battle anymore. That battle is over. We speak Hebrew, and Yiddish is on the decline, and Hebrew is the language in Eretz Yisrael. That battle is long over. And therefore, we need to do this in order to make sure that people can learn Torah, and Torah remains accessible to every community. And then he gave the following mashal. He said that there was a war general who was decorated from the previous war and very, very impressive credentials and led battles and victories and was very respected in the community. And then, many decades later, so there was a new war coming and they called the troops together and he put on his uniform. It didn't fit so much. It was a little bit snug and he had to suck his belly in to get everything to fit together. And he runs out to the battlefield where 20, 30 years ago, the battle is being waged. And he runs out to the where the troops are supposed to be, and he's waiting to get them, and he says, where is everyone? And no one's there. And someone comes up to him and says, the battle's not here anymore. The borders have changed, things are different, the wars are different, and the battle is somewhere off over there. You're behind the times. So the Chazon Ish said the same thing over here. The battle over Hebrew and Yiddish, it's not a battle anymore. We need there other battles to have, there's other discussions to have, and right now, we need to focus on the things that are more important. So it could be that the Chazon Ish would agree that when it comes to these issues nowadays, where the buffalo and the zebu, that it might not be so important to stand guard to make sure in this regards to this minhag. I'm not speaking for the Chazon Ish, but it's certainly an interesting perspective. The Minchas Asher cites Rav Yashuv, who said that the zebu is permitted, and the skin is used for a sefer Torah and tefillin, and that's fine. However, he cited, and this is the opinion of the Sheir HaLevi as well, that in Eretz Yisrael, it's proper to be careful for the Chazon Ish, because the Chazon Ish was, in a sense, the Morei D'Asra and one of the major poskim in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Yashuv felt that in Eretz Yisrael, it might be proper to be machmer for these animals like the zebu and the buffalo and the giraffe, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's certainly no reason to. Now, let's get to this great misconception regarding the Makom Shechita. So there's a idea. There's a misconception about the giraffe that even though the giraffe is kosher, it's not slaughtered because we don't know where on the neck to perform the shechita. It's not so clear where this idea came from. It makes absolutely no sense, as we'll see in a second. But I want to show you that, first of all, if you look in the encyclopedia Kashrus HaMazon, he writes, giraffe chaya lo kashera, v'ish olim shezeu hazemer, shu chaya kasher v'lo ne'achal michoser mesoras. Very clearly, some people say it's kosher, most people say it's kosher, some people say it's not because of the mesora. In the Haredi community, they have encyclopedias, because they have their own encyclopedias, because the Wikipedia is not going to be properly acceptable. It's not acceptable to have the Encyclopedia Britannica in any home nowadays, because it's a little out of date, and anyone who's getting their information from the Encyclopedia Britannica needs to get an internet connection, but especially in the Haredi homes, they're not going to allow any encyclopedia in. So they have encyclopedias, the Beis Yisrael, the encyclopedia for the Jewish home, which is just like any other regular encyclopedia, but it's censored and filtered out. It's a kosher encyclopedia. So if you look in the Encyclopedia of the Beis Yisrael, in the sixth volume, I saw this in a library, and I took a picture of it because it was an amazing Mari Makom, and it's worth it just for this year to hear this Mari Makom. Look in the Encyclopedia of the Beis Yisrael, in the sixth volume on page Kuf Samach Gimel, listen to this. Giraffe. The giraffe is a Min Yonek Africani. It's a mammal in Africa. Noda b'ikar b'tzavaro ha'aruch, it was known for its long neck, the raglav harukos ubegufo hamenumar, and it has the legs, and it has the spotted body. Ha giraffe, hu achai ha'gavoa b'yosuba, omej, the tallest mammal, gova hizkir gavoa at 6 meters, it's taller than 6 meters, kashiro k'tefa shloshmir b'tzavaro of 2.5 meters, shochen baravos Africa, it's on the plains of Africa, ha'terufos, haya b'kvutsos, katanos, it roams in small groups, shibarushu and zafa bodate, and the male leads the pack. Nizan me'alim, shu'ut kotech, metzmuros ha'itzim, and it eats from the leaves on the tree. A giraffe mesugol is kind to kufos arukos lo shtias. It can go for lengthy periods without drinking. We have an informative shir as well tonight. Vuaf yashen ramida, and giraffes also sleep while standing. Cool. Mitzad hadin, according to the halacha, ha giraffe hu chaya kashera. The giraffe is a kosher animal. Ela shemipas tzavaraha aroch. But because of its long neck, ein ladas ketzad l'shochta. We don't know how to shech the giraffe. So you can't trust everything you read in an encyclopedia. And this is one for sure. So it became such a popular idea that it made its way into the Encyclopedia of Beis Yisrael. So what are we supposed to do? The Gemara in Chul Chav Zayin says that the shlit at the neck is halachal Moshe Misinai. The pasuk in this parsha says that the zavachta kasher tzivisicha, you should shech the animal as I have commanded you as a halachal Moshe Misinai. And one of the laws that has to be in the neck, and this would indicate that the entire neck is valid. In most animals, so one doesn't think about how to define the neck, because the neck is small. Meaning, if you look at a cow, there's the head and the shoulder, and in between is the neck. And if you look at a pigeon, so in between the neck and the shoulder, between the head and the shoulder is the neck. It's very clear. But there's no need to get nervous over here, because the giraffe is a huge neck. Meaning, if a person cannot find where on the giraffe to shecht, then they need to get their glasses checked. The giraffe's area of shlita is massive, and anywhere between that shoulder and the bottom of the head is kosher to shecht the giraffe. So certainly we know without question that a person can shecht the giraffe anywhere in these on the neck. And this is
has to be one's motion that seems to be very big.
So we'll get to the technicalities of the shlita in a second. But the Yalkut Yosef said this as well in the Isser V'Hetzer, the Sefer Sicha Skulin, which is a popular Sefer, and anyone who learns from a Sicha Skulin says this as well. There's an article in Tchumen, all very clearly saying that one is allowed to shecht anywhere on the giraffe's neck. So again, giraffes are kosher. We can shecht them if we wanted to. Why isn't the giraffe eating? There are essentially three reasons why we are not having giraffe steak, jerky, burgers, whatever it is you want in your local rest. So the answer is it's expensive. It's very expensive to shecht a giraffe. It just wouldn't make any sense. It would be like $10,000. It would be like $10,000, like a pound. It would be a crazy amount of money, and no one wants to pay that for an animal. So that's number one. There's just no demand for it. Two.
Why is it so expensive? I don't understand.
What?
Why is it so expensive?
Because to go to Africa and to isolate one and to pay someone to go and do it, the investment of time and effort to go into it would be a huge amount of money. Cows cost dollars because there's a demand and they can do it on a high production. Also, apparently, giraffe doesn't taste that good. This is reason number two. Apparently, giraffe does not taste like chicken, as we like our things to always taste like, and therefore, that's why the demand falls as well, because it doesn't taste that well. So just to go on a whim and to see what giraffe tastes like, it's very expensive, and it might not taste that good at the end of the day. Reason number two. Reason number three is that it's very difficult to pin down a giraffe. Giraffes are very strong, and it's hard to restrain them. You rarely find that the giraffes are restrained in any sort of device. You just have to go on YouTube and look for giraffes fighting, and to see how male giraffes whip each other with their long necks, it's not going to be so easy to hold it down and to shecht it. So for these reasons combined, it's difficult to hold it down, it doesn't taste good, and it's very expensive. That is why we are not eating giraffe, not because we don't know where to shecht it. Since we're here, and giraffes are connected to these two animals as well, let's just discuss them in the final minutes. The first is the buffalo. The bison. So it's very popular in fancy steakhouses to have buffalo steaks, bison burgers, things like that. So Rav Moshe, the Masoros Moshe, in Yoredeya Os Yud Gimel, this is in the first line, the Masoros Moshe, says that buffalo is kosher. And the Tshuvos for the OU, Rabbi Belsky, says that buffalo is kosher as well. The Ramah seems to refer to buffalo in Yoredeya Simin Chav Ches. He talks about the buffalo shehu shor habor, some type of animal they had already existing at that time. And Rav Herzog talks about it in his Tshuvos as well, saying the buffalo is fine. Rav Vazner in his Tshuva, the Shevet Levi in Chayal Kiyud, that we quoted from before, so he also says the buffalo and the bison is fine, disagreeing with the Chazanish. And he says, maybe Al Kopanim Barurim La'aretz America, certainly in America, where the Chazon Ish is not the Posek Acharon. One could be Makel for buffalo and bison. I mean, our Tishal B'Shem should be Machmer, but still Mikra Adin, it's certainly fine. The last is the Zibu. The Zibu was very important in the history of the State of Israel because they did not have the animals available, and it was easy for either the Zibu meat to be shipped in from other countries or to grow it in Eretz Yisrael. And there's a series of letters back and forth between Rav Herzog and his Shuvos and the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish's letters in the Igros are responding to Rav Herzog, and there they discuss again the Zibu. The Zibu looks like a cow, but it has like a big hump on the back of the cow. It's much bigger, it has a lot of meat, it tastes pretty much exactly the same also, and you probably had Zibu before, you didn't know it, and they just advertise it as being a cow.
India.
What?
India has those big humps.
Big humps. So it could be a Zibu also. So there's a good chance you might have had it in your life, but you didn't know it. It was being served to you in Eretz Yisrael. So again, Rav Herzog was Makel, and the Pesachim and Ksafim and Chelik Dalet, and the Shevet HaLevi is Makel, and Rav Avraham Yosef is also Makel in the Tshuva to Rav Shlomo Amar, and his Tshuvos Shema Shlomo, also saying that the Zibu is fine, and Rav Belsky and other poskim all saying that it's fine against the Chazon Ish. So, again, halacha lemaisa, when it comes to kosher mammals, we don't need a mesorah, we can rely on the signs, and when it comes to giraffes, we certainly know where to shechter.